Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where it is time again for more information that you can use. You know, I had promised you that Dr. Latrice Fowler would be joining us for a very enlightening conversation, and she is with us today to talk about something that is relevant probably to more people than we realize, and that is internet addiction. Dr. Fowler, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. And they hear me saying Dr. Fowler, and of course, psychologist. So, Dr. Fowler, if you would give us just a little bit of a more in-depth intro than I've given, let us know a little bit about what motivated you to go into psychology and some of your areas of expertise now, and then we'll go ahead and get into the internet addiction.
Okay. Actually, thank you so much, Carl, for even inviting me on the show. I think this is it's such a wonderful opportunity with you and your listeners. And so I really appreciate that. I just wanted to say that. But my decision, I guess you could say, to go into psychology is basically about serving, helping people. So many people struggle with mental health challenges, and especially among the Black community, where there's, you know, there can be negative connotations and stigmas attached, you know, to people that have issues. And so I just feel like that people need help and they need to talk to people. And sometimes it's just not about having a cut and going to the doctor and getting patched up and getting a Band-Aid. Sometimes it's sitting down and talking to someone to help you navigate through the challenges. And so that's really my passion, in helping people and serving people, especially people who are oppressed, people who have limited resources, because they get overlooked, you know, in our society. And so they still need advocates. And I just like to, I consider myself an advocate for those people.
Well, I sure appreciate you for having the courage and the passion to take on that role as advocate. And I heard you loud and clear when you mentioned that, particularly in the African-American community, there is often a reluctance to get help when there's something wrong with the mind or something wrong emotionally. And I wanted to ask if you could just share with us again just some of the benefits of actually seeking professional help when professional help is what's needed, so that people be encouraged to know that really they're being strong and making a wise decision when they decide to get whatever help is needed.
And that is a good question. And that's, again, it's like the obvious. And sometimes seeking mental health is not so obvious. And for a long time, insurance companies didn't even mental health care as a necessity. And thankfully, that tide is changing, and that opinion about mental health care is changing. Because, again, the obvious could be getting a cut and going to the doctor, but the not-so-obvious is wrestling with depression, you know what I mean, or anxiety or addiction. And it's like, who do you turn to? Who can you go to for help and for guidance? And, you know, in our community, it was always, well, go talk to the pastor, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And let him pray for you or let him lay hands on you. And then on the other side of it is, well, go down to, you know, they will call a psychiatrist and just go get a happy pill. And you and I both know it's not that simple. It's actually a more in-depth process. And it can be comprehensive. I mean, I work well with psychiatrists who may prescribe, you know, prescriptions, you know, to help people dealing with anxiety and depression. And so what we call that management. And then once they get management, then they can come and talk to me or any other psychologist or therapist or counselor, and work through the issues. So it's more of a, I guess you could say it's a village, the same way people will say it takes a village to raise a child. It also takes a village to help someone get to that mental health awareness, you know, that they need to be functional, that they need to feel viable, that they need to feel as if they can think through conflict. All conflict, honestly, is not bad conflict. You know, I tell a lot of my patients, sometimes you do need a healthy dose of conflict. But the challenge is how do you manage it? You know, life doesn't have, it's not a blank slate all the time. It's not black and white all the time. It's like, so how do you respond to conflict? How do you respond to the challenge? You know, and so that's the kind of approach that I take in my practice and in my dealing with other people that need assistance. And it's just not, sometimes it's a little bit more than just saying, we'll pray for you.
Yes.
Sometimes you just need a little bit more help. And mm-hmm. So that's where I like to feel useful, I guess, in that aspect.
And I tell you, Dr. Fowler, I got to say, I truly agree with you 100%. I think that it is great that we have this gift of prayer that can bring so much to bear, positive to bear on our lives in so many areas of life. But very often it seems like people kind of overlook the fact that just as the practice of medicine is a gift given to us mm-hmm. to help us when prayer won't fix the broken bone. Prayer,
absolutely.
You know, prayer alone won't remove the bacteria that's causing the infection. The therapy, psychotherapy, is
exactly.
a gift given to us to help us
exactly.
when just an encouraging word won't do.
Exactly. I mean, and you know, to even give a good example, and this to me was, you know, an awakening moment. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine who, you know, she's a psychiatrist, so she's a medical doctor. And we were actually just standing in line at a fast food restaurant. And another person that was with us said, you know, well, you're a psychologist and you're a psychiatrist, so what's the difference? And before I could speak, my friend, she said, well, I'm just going to write you a prescription for your situation and hope you get better, and I may talk for 10 minutes, but she's going to actually heal you. And I just felt like that was, you know, it was such a compliment, and it kind of put it into perspective for me. And I said, why do you say I can heal the person? And she said, because you're going to get to the root of the matter. You're going to get to the heart of the issue. You're going to try to identify what the trigger is for that person. What's triggering the suicidal thoughts? What's the trigger, you know, for the depression and for the anxiety? And why does this person feel like they can't function among other people despite, you know, maybe having obvious success? You know, she was just saying that I'm going to go a little bit more in depth to get to the heart of the matter. And she's like, I'm just going to put a Band-Aid on it and hope it gets better.
I tell you what, and I tell you what, that's basically the way I see it, too. It's truly a gift given to us. I mean, because let's just face it, God knew that not everyone on this earth would have the ability to believe that he would directly intervene and heal whatever was ailing us, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever. And so he gave us some gifts, some helps, some supports that can get us there, something that he knew we would be able to place our confidence in. And so I think it is so unfortunate that particularly, I'm not saying only, but particularly in the African-American community, so many of us will neglect that gift, dismiss that gift, because mm-hmm. we don't want to acknowledge that something's going on inside that needs to be dealt with. And I don't want to think bad of myself. I don't want other people to think bad of me.
Right.
But that said, though, Dr. Fowler, in your practice, what do you find happens with the people who do come in? I mean, and aside from just being able to cope with, maybe even recover from whatever brought them in there initially, just the fact that rather than suffer in silence, they came for help. How do you find that that really impacts them?
Well, the thing of it is, it's so there's kind of, you make it a different type of patient, right? You make it the patient where the therapy is court ordered. So you have a person of legal authority saying you're out of control. There's something or something that you did or that went on, and you need to go and talk to someone. But then you also get the other side of it where you get the patient that recognizes something is going on with me, or I feel incomplete, or I feel empty. You know, a lot of my patients will come to me and they say, you know, doc, I just feel hopeless. And it's incredibly sad among younger people or adolescents. I have a lot of you know, college age, you know, patients, and they come in, it's their junior year of the program, and it's rigorous, and they're struggling with identity issues, they're struggling with their sexual identity, and they say, I don't even know where I fit in. It's like I knew who I was in high school, but I don't know who I am now. And I mean, that could also be considered a young life crisis, because not only are they wrestling with the environment around them, being on college, being on campus, and the pressure and all that entails, but then it's like, well, what am I going to do, you know, with my life after college? You know, so that's one type of patient that would make it. I may also see the person that's suicidal, that's one step away from feeling like things would be better if I were no longer here, you know. And so you just have to kind of meet the patient where they are and get an understanding of why they feel the way they feel and what can you do to help them feel better about themselves and about their situation, and hopefully provide them with some strategies to cope, because depression just doesn't go away, you know, anxiety just doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. But if you can really find the way to help the individual cope, then you have really given them a tool to succeed and go forth and not be dependent or codependent on you. Because I don't want you to just be able to talk to me, but I want you to talk and interact with your community and the environment around you, because you will need support, not just coming and talking to me for 15 minutes every week. But you will need support from the people in your immediate environment even more so than from me.
Wow. Our guest is Dr. Fowler, Dr. Latrice Fowler. When we come back, can we begin, you know, when it comes to this whole notion of needing to talk to someone, I imagine there are a lot of people who are needing to hear about this phenomenon, if you will, that is plaguing the country, maybe the world, has to do with addiction, and people really need to come alongside someone, get with someone who can help them with that. Our focus will be internet addiction. So when we come back, can you start by just telling us generally what addiction is and then specifically what internet addiction is?
Okay, absolutely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, is Dr. Latrice Fowler. She and I will be right back.